shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we just been singing about the fact Jesus is here, and we recall when he was here with the disciples and he walked on the water, they were fearful, and when he was sleeping in the boat, they were fearful and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" And we realize because you are here, it doesn't mean that everybody has that rest, even recognizing you are here, but we must enter into that rest. Help us to enter into it, as the prophet taught us by way of a vindicated word, that if this has come to pass, then the other must surely come to pass, and we are in the process of it. It is ours. You gave it to us, and Lord, it's being fulfilled in us. Help us to know that, Father, because this is where we have got to come, and we believe we are there, and it's going to take the sight from your eyes through our eyes, us recognizing you're living in us, to apprehend that for which we are apprehended. Help us this morning, Lord, and surely we will be a blessed people and give thee greater glory and praise than ever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're all the way to number 24 on the Easter seal, and we're closing off, I trust, quite rapidly. Now, as we have constantly noted, Brother Branham has actually placed us chronologically within the resurrection itself. And this is exactly true, for the resurrection is part of the events of the rapture. It's actually number 2. And we know there can be no rapture without a resurrection. Now, you notice this clears the chronology very, very well. So I want to read it to you again and remember what I am reading. As we have constantly noticed, Brother Branham has actually placed us chronologically, that is, this is the hour, within the resurrection itself, and this is exactly true, for the resurrection is part of number 2 of shout, voice, and trumpet. It's part of the events of the rapture, and we know that there can be no rapture without a resurrection. Thus, he says in paragraph 218, we are alive today and enjoying the resurrection forevermore. Now, this is not simply a little casual comment as though he's Pentecostal, getting us all hooped up to run around the building and start screaming. We don't even know what we're screaming about. This is a prophet who is vindicated, says, we are alive today. So therefore, the alive today is stressing a sort of an aliveness that was not there previously or yesterday. And enjoying the resurrection forevermore. Now this lets you understand what he said about the seventh seal going into eternity. Now, you can see here that Brother Branham is categorically referring to we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord as set forth in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep that you sore not, even as others which have no hope. Now, what is the hope that they have? I am held here for the hope of the resurrection, said the Apostle Paul. I've been imprisoned, I've been beaten, I've been spat upon, they've done everything they can to me because I simply teach the resurrection, and I know it to be true because Jesus rose from the dead. And I have the signs of a prophet who brings the word. And this is my hope. And if in this life only I have hope and not in a resurrection, I am of all men most miserable because I missed it. I might as well have done what everybody else did and had a good time doing it. Because all you got is the flesh. And when your flesh is gone, boom, what you got? It's over. No more fun, no more nothing. Zoom, floating around God knows where, and God, who cares? You see, you are entirely distracted and, pardon the language, discombobulated, whatever that means. You're falling apart from the inside to the outside unless you really know there's a resurrection, you're part of it. Amen. Now, Brother Branham is trying to bring us this place here. If this is true and this is true, that's true. See? Okay. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, now if we believe that, based upon evidence, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For this we say unto you, thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not take precedence, or in any way have any authority or anything over them, any difference, go before them that are asleep. For the Lord himself, the precedent-setting one. Remember, the transfiguration did not glorify Moses, did not glorify Elijah, did not glorify itself, but it glorified Jesus. This one that Paul is talking about himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, all right, Brother Branham is referring to this scripture here, verse 16. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord will descend. What Lord descend? He tells you, the one in a pillar of fire descends. He calls him Jehovah. That's another name for Elohim. This one comes down. Does the work that is necessary, takes us up to meet our Lord, the head of the church, which is Jesus, for the church is a corporal body, and we meet the corporal headship. Today we are in touch with the spiritual headship. Okay, now, then he further says in the same paragraph 218, because he lives, we are alive also. And he is living in us, making us alive. Now that is different from what was previous. Because he's talking about the resurrection. So the living in us is to the end, we in the resurrection to immortality. Now that couldn't happen until now. So you see what I'm saying? Based upon the evidence, the factual vindication, we are in it. And you got to believe it. See? Now, if the Roman Catholic Church can send out this little missive that I read, put their name on, stand before the world, so confident in their ignorance of truth, what kind of dummies, spiritual nincompoops are we in the face of an evidence that has been proven, thus saith the Lord? Now we're on testing ground this morning, from what Brother Branham says. Because he lives. When didn't he live? We are alive also, and he living in us, making us alive, and the Spirit that raised him from the dead, dwelling in our beings, shall quicken our mortal bodies in that great eternal resurrection. Now that has stood for 2,000 years of the church ages, but not as it stands today. Because nobody but nobody can be in the hour of the resurrection unless it is the end time. Now, they'll be in the resurrection. But we are living in it now in a certain way of life that was not available to them in their mortal bodies as they stood walking and breathing. They had to go down. This church does not go down. Now, when Brother Branham says, because he lives, we are alive also. And he's living in us. And he tells us categorically, it's not we who live anymore now, it is he living in us. That brings you to the full measure of the Word. For the Word is the conduit of the Holy Spirit. And if you believe a vindicated prophet, which most people cannot go along with, then you believe that the perfect Word has arrived at this hour, and therefore the full life and the full measure of the Holy Spirit is in the full measure of the Word in a bride which has come to the flange, to the very top. But you can't deny it. Now he says, shall quicken our mortal bodies in that great eternal resurrection. Now the dead don't have bodies. They're decayed. They're gone. What were bodies? Not bodies now. Remnants, evidences, but not bodies. Unless he's just fresh dead. He's talking about us. This can only refer to Luke 17:30. The days of the Son of Man have returned to earth, which is declared in Matthew 12, when he makes himself known to the Gentiles, doing the same things in the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire, through a prophet, which he once did in the form of human flesh in the Messiah prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time, he does not raise his voice. He does not strive. He's not heard in the streets. The bruised reed he doesn't break. The smoking flax he doesn't quench. But he hurls forth judgment, victory, unto the Gentiles, which show you that they go from the inception of the early church right into the millennium. And into eternality, which the Jews never did. And let me assure you, I don't care how much the Jews have a temple worship. I don't care if they find the ass of the red heifer. I don't care anything that the Jews do. The Jewish religion is finished because there's no more sacrifice for sin. They're finished. When he stands before the 144,000, they cower and say, oh God, I hope it isn't what I'm sure it is. Shows the hands. The Gentiles are not so treated. Do not destroy the oil and the wine. Do not destroy that little flickering light. The bruised reed is not broken. The smoking flax is not quenched. And he hurls forth. I'll read it to you. I don't remember how that's written, so I better just read it exactly right. That's the way you get things right. You do it right. So it says here, till he sent forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So here we are at the end time. Now, it can refer only to Luke 17:30, which is declared in Matthew 12. And is appearing, and that's the appearing that is spoken of at the end time in John 5. Let's go back and look at John 5, beginning at verse 19. I hope I don't have to read all, but I'll read some. Then answered Jesus, said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So the days of the Son of Man is simply nothing more nor less than God himself, Elohim Father, the Great One, the Source, Jehovah, coming down and manifesting. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now he's going to show greater works. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even as the Son quickens whom he will. Now it tells you right there, this is going plumb into the resurrection. For the Father judges no man, but committed all judgment unto the Son. Isn't there judgment right now? It says so. That all men should honor the Son, even as he honored the Father. He that honored the Son honoreth not the Father which is in him. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth in him, saying he hath everlasting life, shall not come into the judgment, but is passed into eternal life. Verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, you know that was the first half of the first resurrection. For as the Father had life in himself, he has given the Son to have life in himself. And to give him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now, he's executed judgment right now. And he's given the Gentiles victory. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which the all who are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father sent me. For if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another bear witness of me, and so on. Now you get put this all together, and you can see that whether people want to believe it or not, God is manifesting and operating in the office of sonship. Then if it ever appears again, which it had to come through the Son there, it is once more revealed unto us. These are the days of the Son of Man, where God is once more manifesting according to exactly what He manifested back there. Now, you tell me the resurrection is not going on. You're not following what I'm following. You're simply not seeing what I'm seeing. Because you cannot get away from the fact of what He said. When He said it here, He took it to the full gamut, right to the white throne. And Brother Branham said, we're before the white throne now. At the time of the resurrection, when God who raises the dead calls those things which are not as though they were, and everybody says, oh, that can't be so. Hey, listen, you either believe the Word of God or you're dead this morning sitting here. Let's get it. And I'm not fooling because I can't afford to fool with myself. The fact is, there are definitions in this Bible that we do not believe. We say we're believers. We're liars. We're halfway believers. We have not enough sense to say, God help my unbelief. Abraham, at the time of his regeneration, at 100 years of age, and Sarah 90, he said the definition of his faith was a full assurance, God who raises the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were. In other words, you're there. You know why? Because you passed the center of gravity. All right, center of gravity. Let's keep moving. Center of gravity. Let's keep moving. You're finished. You've taken a step off the cliff. And now it's up to the upper taker or the lower taker to take you where you're going to go. Now, you can say, I don't believe that. You can sue anything you want sitting here. That's nothing to me. You do what you want. But I've got to preach the truth, whether I die and go to hell or whether I die and go to heaven or anything else. What I'm telling you is what a vindicated prophet said, and I've taken you right to the Word of God to show you. Now, if I couldn't take the Word, I'd have some doubts. Now, Brother Branham then admonishes the congregation to reject the world by rejecting denominations and churchianity and acknowledge the very presence of God, as in Matthew 17, 1-8, where they saw Jesus only. For as the transfiguration did not glorify Moses or Elijah or itself, in other words, it was not an end in itself. But the end in itself was to glorify Jesus. This is exactly according to Ephesians 1:17. Exactly according to Luke 17 and 30. All what is done is to the end of the magnification of Jesus. Now, so we're looking at this today. As God's prophet, he declares the very presence of God filling the room and sets God forth at that moment as the great seer of visions who has opened the book which no man can shut. Now, you know positively that's way back in Revelation chapter 22 and 10. Especially as of the seventh seal, that is like a Roman candle spinning off into eternity, and we with it. That's what Brother Branham said about the seventh seal. It's the end of all things, end of time, end of this, end of that. Bursting like a Roman candle, going plumb into eternity. So therefore, anybody under the seventh seal, and the whole world is, whether they want to know it or not, are actually under the scrutiny of the judge and the white throne now, where Brother Branham can take Malachi 4 and 1, leaving neither root nor branch, concerning the burning that is on this earth, not the dissolution of the earth and the heavens, the atmosphere and stratosphere, no, but just the fact of the burning off of the great tribulation. Right there, and right now, destiny is sealed as of this moment, and people don't want to believe it. That's what's wrong with the Branhamites. They think they're sitting on a fence and can turn a corner when there's no fence left. The fence has run out and there are no more corners. Because we turned the corner. In other words, we have the definitive. We have the final. We have the absolute. We have the irrevocable. We have the sovereignty of Almighty God manifested. Then on page 41 in paragraph 225b, he declares the biblical description of a word prophet like Moses and Paul, as in Deuteronomy 18, to give him the authority to announce and affirm that his vindication is the authentication of God's Easter. He lays it out flat that his vindication is the authentication of everything he said. We are in God's Easter. We are in the resurrection. And if we've had the shout, we have got to be in the resurrection. And remember, Brother Branham said the bride was waiting for the revelation of rapture. And he said a quick, short message was going to come out of the West. And I'm not saying I know this to be true. I'm just bleeding to the putting my own speculation upon it. That short, quick message, that short, quick work was that rapture sermon that came out of Yuma, Arizona, on the border of California, because California is a graveyard of preachers. It's a place that's going to go down. So therefore, if that's going down, I suppose Yuma certainly is the West. I wouldn't say it's going to break off that far, but that's certainly a good point to call the West. All right. He says that is God's Easter seal. In other words, the vindication, the proof, thus saith the Lord, based upon Moses and the Apostle Paul, gives him the authority to bring this to us. Then in paragraph 226, which we will read again, he shows that the resurrection is no other than the outgrowth or result of the message, which is shout number one, resurrection number two, the gathering together by the trumpet in the rapture itself. All right. We go to paragraph 226 then. Now, he said, that's God's Easter seal. I declare to you, thus saith the Lord, which has never failed to be the absolute evidence that I am telling you the truth. We are in God's Easter seal. In other words, the actual power of the resurrection that follows the revelation of God Himself according to Ephesians 1, verse 17 to 23. Now, he says here, that seals every letter of this word into your heart. What does? The very presence of Almighty God to bring about a resurrection, having certainly vindicated Himself and given you the revelation according to what He promised in Ephesians. What is the seal? You are written epistles read of all men. You know that. But when God has claimed you, He sealed you with the Easter seal, that you are risen with Christ, you are a new creature. If you haven't been sealed this morning, do so with our heads bowed. Now, I want to read here from the unveiling of God. He says in one place, as it is written, see written, you are written epistles. The Bible said. Now, what is an epistle? It's a written word. And you are the written. Other words, you'd read it like this. He'd say, you are written epistles, or you are the word that has been written, made manifest. In other words, first of all, it's a thought, then it's put in the book, and then it's manifested. So, all right, you were in Him, and then you're put in the book as a name. Now you come, that's into physical manifestation. Nothing can be added to it. You can't say, I'm a written epistle, and living some other kind of something, but what this has already written. Because nothing can be added or taken away. So how is a person going to say, well, we're written epistles, if you're not 100% according to the Apostle Paul? Then to have 100% according to the Apostle Paul demands God to come forth and vindicate a true revelation of that word, or God is at fault. How can God work out in anybody or anything, even Himself, if He hasn't got the power to do it? So you see what we're talking about? We're talking about we are at the complete disposal of God. You are the written ones. Didn't say you wrote yourself. But I said, how are you going to stand up and claim that you are the written epistles, you are God's Word manifested in this hour, unless you agree with God's Word manifested in this hour? Let's go further. He says again, you are written epistles, read of all men, or you are, translate that, turn it around. See, just turn it around. You are epistles that have been written, because you can't add anything to it. That's read of all men. Now, the point is, are we looking at ourselves as written epistles? Are we looking at ourselves as the Word that's been manifested for this hour? Now, somebody's got to do it. Kooky, crazy, stupid, idiot. It doesn't matter. Somebody's got to do it. Well, the reason I've reused those words is because they think we're stupid, kooky, and everything else. They think we don't have a right. Well, bless God, I'd sooner come by this than kiss any pope's toe or anything else.
Amen.
What have they got to offer us? A bunch of blarney, baloney. The whole bunch are usually cigar-sucking, beer-drinking, wine-guzzling. Who needs them? They admit they're not spiritual, but they claim to be moral. How can you be moral and not be spiritual? Because morality is a spiritual thing. And it shows forth in the flesh. If you've got anything at all to show forth, it says, you are epistles that have been written, because you can't add a thing to it. And read of all men. How are you going to be read of all men? You take your stand. Manifested Word of God. In other words, Peter and John, when they went up there, they perceived they were ignorant, unlearned, no education. But they took notice they'd been with Jesus. See, they're ignorant, unlearned. But they were written epistles, see, read that had been with Jesus, because Jesus was manifesting himself through them. Christ veiled in their flesh, manifested, made alive, like he was in Moses. Now notice what he's saying here. He's putting this right down to Moses through these men, and when he does that, he comes to himself. Moses veiled. He was a living word to the people, and today the people that are veiled are the same thing. In other words, by identification. Nobody at any time can pretend that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a pretender already. He said, well, I am. But you cannot be one of his and not identified with him. Now, the point is this. Jesus identified with the Scripture. And he said, I'm the one that Moses spoke of. And when every Scripture that Jesus saw was fulfilled concerning himself, as was said by the Holy Spirit through the mouths of all the holy prophets and written there, he himself knew who he was, Brother Branham said. In other words, he identified. It wasn't the fact of his miracles and this and that and the other thing. It was the fact that he identified with the words on the grounds of the fact that he was the manifested word of that hour, and he knew it because it lined with Scripture. Now, when we know what we're taught lines with Scripture, we are identified. But everybody else wants some great big flashy thing in the pan. Looking for Brother Branham brings it out here. Okay. And today the people are veiled are the same thing. They are written epistles, read of all men. Not a new epistle, but the epistle that's been written, made manifested. It's those who believe the word and the promise of this day that God is pouring his Spirit out upon all flesh. And that is the written epistles. And when a person tries to carnally impersonate that, it backfires. So Brother Branham is bringing himself into a position where he said, I'm part of you and you're part of me. And we're all part of God. All right. We saw this in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, where Paul is mentioning this. And he said, do we begin to commend ourselves? It need to be some other epistle commendation, letters of commendation. You are our epistles written in our hearts, read and known of all men. See, for as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of heart, and such trust have we through Christ to God's word, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency of God who has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not the letter, but the Spirit, for the letter killed, the Spirit gives life. In other words, he tells you right here that you are that living epistle if you are full of the Holy Ghost, and it'll be proven by you believing that word. Now, people don't want that. They want to talk in tongues, jabber, do this, do the other thing. They don't even believe that the gifts will lead you astray. What strong delusion does God send at the end time that they believe the lie?
Why, you know, it's right in the church. It's the son of perdition spirit that's been revealed to us. That comes right behind the word with all the signs and things. You don't believe God sent strong delusion? And who did it? He said he did. Said he would. Well, you're too nice for God, you see. Because you'd never do it, you lying hypocrite. You men don't even treat your wives right, your wives don't treat you right. I'll come down and I know what life's all about. You don't got 77 years for nothing, have a wife and three kids and bung around this world. You think I'm entirely stupid? You might be, but I ain't. Let's get the point across. See? I think God's a little bit put out of their unbelief. Not believing his pure word manifested. Not believing what's been shown to us. Well, we'll get backbones, don't worry. I'm not interested in having my tried, don't worry, but it'll be tried, it's being tried. Someday I'll just read you some letters and let you know what goes around the world. They think they're going to scare me with their hogwash. Just God give me strength to die going down, blast them both ways, coming and going. You say, Brother Vail, you're not nice. I never said I was nice. You be the nice guys. I'm going to be a nice guy anymore. Tired of being a nice guy. No, there's nothing to it. It's hogwash. Armies aren't nice. We're in the Lord's army, man to man now. All I want to be is just God's child with this word, that's all. And if I have to blast, I'll blast her. I hope anyway. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't tell anything. Now, this is a ministry that positively does this. It's a word ministry that's vindicated. And Paul said, if my gospel is hid, he said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves merely servants. And he said, but if our gospel is hid, now Paul called it his gospel, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So believing is in the mind. Then it gets down in here. And if your mind rejects it, I'm called carnal-minded because I don't reject this stupid idiot down there in Missouri. Oh, yeah, right in the letter. I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost because I can't accept anybody but Brother Branham. And I can get you a pin-headed idiot in Florida where he takes the quote of Brother Branham, someone's going to fall to him. And if I followed him, I'd sooner go to hell with devils on. Running around drunk in a bacchanalian feast with prostitutes. And follow him. You're tough preaching. I mean it. I'm not kidding. Because he revolts my soul. Even think what these guys think. Somebody follow William Branham, prophet of God. I know how God feels. He wants to puke. I could puke all over it. I mean, I'm ready to throw up. Honest to God, I'm not lying to you. Right here. You want to throw up. You got the nerve of nerds, imbeciles. And I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost because they don't come running. I obeyed the voice that told me back in 1947. If you ever listen to any man, you listen to this one. Didn't even call a man if you ever listened to anybody. Where do you sit this morning and stand? It's a good question. You looking for something? It's fine by me. You go ahead.
Blinded minds. Blind leaders, the blind, where women even rise up and sign their own name and their husbands to letters the husbands don't even know written. Say Jimmy Swaggart's the closest to William Branham, but watch Lee Vail because he's a skunk. Never said it wasn't. I don't mind the smell of a skunk. Open a fresh tin of coffee sometime, you'll find a faint little odor in there, too. You see, that's a musk. It's an oil in there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I must spoil your appetite. In whom the God of this world? Who's the God of this world? Satan. Satan's in these self-deceived, puffed-up, ignorant toads. Cried out, prophet, a prophet. Sure, I said I wasn't a Branham. I sure sound like one now. I sold out to one man only because that voice, whatever it was, said, you listen. People get fooled. They think they can get Lee Vail to follow them. I got news for all these guys around the world. I got their letters. And I'll follow them. I'd sooner go to hell. See, I believe I've turned the corner. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Then in whose image are they? Satan's. Oh, Brother Bale, you're crass, you're crude. You bet your sweet life I'm crass and crude. If you don't like it, you don't have to come to these services. I'll even put them on Thursday night. Tapes go out, who cares? My ministry's separate. I'm not worried one little bit. Because my Bible says it. And your Bible says they're lost. Now, am I supposed to be nice? We say, Brother Bale, you're falling back on the time the prophet had a vision and said, well, somebody's got to tell him. You're telling them too hard. That's my business. I'll answer for it. You answer for your sweet ways, I'll answer for my rotten ways. And I am doing it. Don't worry, many nights I don't sleep. Do you think it's easy? Come on. Go ahead and take over. I love you to. I've had about 55 years preaching, 30 years on the road. Try. I got to stand before God what I'm saying, how I say it. And I'm not berating you, running you down. I'm telling you what's going on, and I'm trying to get you to understand it's got to be said hard sometimes, or you don't get it. You got to pound the nail and another nail and keep clenching and hammering until maybe it'll sink in. And I'm talking more about myself than about you. You might not think so, but it's the truth. We preach not ourselves. William Branham did not preach himself. But these guys coming preach themselves. And everyone says, well, Brother Branham said someone was coming. I'm laying a platform. He said, I wasn't at one. And two big pinheads that reach in the Bible and take a scripture and say it means this because they say so. Well, would you believe I'm 26 because I say so? You better get your head lined up, kid. I'm 77 in a couple of months. We'll celebrate. What we'll celebrate, God knows. We'll celebrate. What's to celebrate? Celebrate the Easter. He's here. No. I have my reason for being riled. Yeah. Come up against that? Only one spirit can come against that. That's the spirit of Satan. Right. Some of you are so scared you think Amanda breaks up homes and everything else is of God. You better check your battles of what the prophet said. If he's a God, I ain't. If they're a God, I'm not. And I don't want to be. So scared to stand with the prophet's word. You just might say something. The preacher's got you hoodwinked and hoodooed. Have I ever hoodwinked and hoodooed you in this pulpit? You can come against me any time you stinking well want. But you better know your scripture.
You better know what the prophet said. I got Dave sitting here with the computer. He'll bring the computer right in here. We'll find everything Brother Branham ever said about a subject. We don't pay $4,000 or nothing, do we? We certainly don't. Now, if you don't get truth in this pulpit up here, just say, Brother Bale, we don't want to hear anymore. I'd say, fine, go out the door because this is my pulpit. No problem. I'm not here to kid you. I'm not here to kid myself. Because I know this is a judging word. All right. What can the people look forward to? What can we look forward to, Bill? What is there left? Look at Formosa. He goes, he said, the coming of the Lord is at hand. He said, America is just like a kid going through a graveyard whistling, trying to convince himself nothing to be afraid of. He said, but don't be deceived. The coming of the Lord is right here. Now, why? 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 I'll tell you why. Because the coming of the Lord is just an a Sodom condition. And the Sodom condition is when Abraham stood there with the just judge, and Abraham said, shall the, not the judge of all the earth do it? He said, Abraham, I always do right. He said, I know that, Lord. He said, I know that. He said, no, but, he said, just a minute now. He said, would you destroy the city if there were 50 righteous? He said, certainly not. I'll get it down to 10. He said, certainly not. He said, Abraham, you're missing the point. I never destroy the righteous with the wicked. So here we are in the presence of God, the just judge, the great one, and it presages what? The literal coming of the Son in flesh, due to the fact there is a change from mortal to immortality. And that can't happen unless there's a resurrection first. So Brother Bass says the great Easter seal, the vindication, he's here! And the literal physical coming is right at hand. But before that, we meet him in the air. Do you notice the other day he talks about the fishermen fishing? He talks about nature. And how that the fish, the birds know about earthquakes, everything else happening. But you know, it seems like man doesn't seem to know that. No, they want their own signs. But you know, God gave them a sign. He said, the prophet Jonah. Now, the prophet Jonah, where did he go? Into Gentiles. And Jonah was 3 days and three nights. Within the 3 days and three nights, Jesus had to come out of the earth. And remember, it was a prophet who went to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles repented and were saved. That goes right to Matthew 12. Takes you right into Revelation chapter 3. I'm at the door knocking. Come on. Get out of there. I'm going to save you. And the Gentiles have one message. Repent. Now what was wrong with those Ninevites? They had the wrong God. They believed that God was a whale or something. Fish of the sea. You know, they worship maybe Neptune. How do I know they all worship? So Jonah comes out on the land, and they say, that's our God did that. And he turns them to the true God. If you haven't got a perfect picture of the end time, brother, sister, I don't know what we're looking for. Now he said about India, the birds left the walls because earthquake is coming. Now here's the point. Can't you see, spirit-filled people, something is fixing to happen? Don't look for some great big universal something sweeping. Nothing but the coming of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because he's already covered these things. And when they're covered by divine revelation, and the church is finally set in order, the bride waiting for the revelation of the rapture and receiving it, there is nothing left. What do you say? Some great big thing going to happen. Good. Listen. Don't you understand this? A word prophet must meet with God and God vindicate himself to the prophet. Then he goes down with thus saith the Lord and God vindicates the prophet to the people. Then comes the message. Then comes what? Deception. Because you can't have deception without truth. There's got to be the real before there's a counterfeit. So everybody looking for something, and you looking for something, you are looking in the wrong place. The place is the vindicated word that places you. And don't you have one thought outside of it. I wish I could say you'd say that back to me and I'd respond to it, because I don't think you're responding to me any more than I'm responding to you. You're not facing a big, fancy, fat liar up here. Maybe a liar, fancy, but not fat. I'm getting that way. I'm not up here chiseling you and boggling you with lies and making you think something is coming, like Joe Coleman in his meetings and all these Pentecostals. The big thing's coming. And pretty soon they've got them all bleeding. He was the big thing. Well, I imagine it's quite a big thing. He's 6 foot or something. I don't know what it's all about. You know, listen, are you with me this morning? Understand what's happened? The days of the Son of Man are actually over. We've seen the days. Now, why do you want them again? Oh, you think you're going to get a third time when the Bible speaks of twice? The next time is to the Jews. Now, you can have signs following. And you can be the biggest deceiver living, the same as Judas was. But it's the truth that counts, for the word of the Lord endures, and the word cannot be judged, but gifts are judged. A word believer cannot be judged. He's already judged. But you can have 1,000 gifts and raise the dead and be right in judgment right there. So I trusted those gifts. Why? Well, they followed the word. What word? What word? Once you turn down the vindicated word, it's all just any old word. And signs will follow any old word. Doesn't matter. I know people don't believe, especially Pentecost. They just can't believe. Well, bless God, I couldn't speak in tongues, you know. But I did speak in tongues, therefore it has to be God. So everything I do is God. Oh, gosh. Brother Brandon said he went to Indian dances and these seances where they spoke in tongues, drank blood out of a skull, and the pencil went, they're shaving a haircut, six bicks up the tin pipe chimney. I wouldn't even give you a shave and a haircut, 6 bicks, what I see. Remember, just remember the words and the promise and promise of the Lord. Won't you come on in right quick? Get away from those big walls, organizations. The resurrection is here at hand now. Now, brother, sister, listen to me. This is absolutely Acts, the 3rd chapter. You cannot get away from it. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sin may be blotted out. When times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And even he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain, until the restitution of all things that God spoke by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. He tells you right there, something is going to come from God. It's going to be a refreshener. It's going to be bring the church, like quicken the church, quicken the people. Then at that time, he still cannot come because the message of restoration has to come. Then it says he can come, but not before. Now, the point is he can't come without a resurrection. And the resurrection has an other side. It's to you and me who are living here, standing here, mortal. Now, we go up and meet him in the air. Wedding supper, come on back. Now, if there is someone here that doesn't know that they would go in that resurrection and not sure that they have got that resurrection power resting in their bones. That doesn't say soul, he says bones. The seed is in the soul. The word quickens the soul back to God. The eagle scream. Now what does the word do today? The life that is in the word for this hour is resurrection, and now we have quickening power in our bones. Now what's in the bones? The marrow, where the blood is made. So now you've got life, and I've got life. From this word, because we've got the word. And it's a vindicated word. And we believe it. You know something? Since we've been on this Easter Seal series, it's easier to believe we're before the white throne because we're actually believing now we're in the resurrection and understanding. Because it's the second part of the events. We're gradually growing in our faith. We're gradually believing. for there's too many things hindering us, which are the stupid things of the world. Now, this brings us to Galatians, the 4th chapter, where it tells you, because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Now, that is the rebirth. That is the sonship. But over in Romans, it tells you what Brother Branham's text is, 8 and 11. He said, because the Spirit is in there, and you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, due to the germ and the life power upon it, now, he said, you are entering into another phase. Which phase is the phase that Adam wanted and couldn't have? You are going to have it. Which is this end time is simply this, that quickening power with God amongst us. No longer holding back the tree of life, but leaving the tree of life exposed, we can go there to immortality. See? This comes through Ephesians 1:13-14. If we've been sealed in, bringing us to the place where we understand the perfect will of God. Now watch what he says over here in Romans 8 chapter. I'm running it together quickly. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed, the image of his son. Now what's the image of the son? Well, the son is the image of God. Where does that take us? Right back to our father. That's why he's not ashamed to call us brethren. We're of one source. Moreover, when he predestinated them, he also called them. He called them, yes, justified. And whom he justified them, he also glorified. Now notice, this is put in the past tense. Now, let's just refer this to the blood of bulls and goats, looking to the time of Jesus Christ. If you could have a first half of the first resurrection based upon their receiving the type, which they knew ended in an anti-type, what God was going to do, what about us who look back upon the anti-type, the fulfillment, and he, the fulfiller, is here? Oh, come on. I know it's falling on deaf ears. I'm sorry for it, and I'm sorry for myself. But I'm telling you the truth. Because the Lord did descend with the shout, and with the voice, and with the trumpet. Number one is a message. Number two is a resurrection. And three is the gathering and calling up. Who's here? I am the resurrection of the life. It doesn't say Jesus raised himself. It said God raised him. He's talking about the body. Who is here to raise us? God is here to raise us. So we get the word being fulfilled. Now, those skin worms destroy. Atom bomb bursts right in the middle of you. It'll never destroy the quickening resurrection power you got in your bones. No, no, sister, brother, your precious name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life up yonder. No man can rub it out. Not enough rubbing compound to rub it out. Rub your name out of from the book where his blood is bodied. If you're not sure at that, don't take a chance on it. Now, well, my point is this, what he's preaching, what he's saying here is, hey, look at it. There's nothing going to rub you out. You got it made. You're the second half of the first resurrection. How's anybody going to do anything to this? They can't do it. Now, he said, you might take a chance running through a barricade somewhere. In other words, you might just try to run through this thing and say, well, there's something stopping me. There's a barricade here. There's a kind of a barrier to keep out. Now, he said, you might run through something, not get killed. But you're not going to run through this barricade. Now, what barricade is it? You can't get rid of the barricade that God has placed here, that you come one way or you don't come. Well, bless God, I don't believe that. I don't believe there's one message, hallelujah, and this stuff and that stuff. Well, you simply don't believe in the Exodus. You don't believe in your types. If you didn't have the blood over your door, you didn't make it. And then notice, even with the blood over your door, and you went over the Red Sea, you crossed over, you could still get into fornication, which is idolatry, which they got into, because all of them were not God's seed. Oh, there's thousands and thousands coming out all over the world. There's literally millions of them. They're coming from everything. They're not going in, though. No, they're not going in. They sit amongst us without the wedding garments on. Brother Branham said, they don't believe. They sit there, they don't believe. Just sitting there to get a chance at you. Now listen, he said, you're not going to run through this barricade. No, you're not going to do it. You don't have to. He says, a red light flashing. Now you can take the barricade as a great tribulation, take the barricade as a lot of things. But my understanding barricade at this particular point in this message is the fact we're going into the resurrection. And we are barricaded in by the word of Almighty God. You take it, or you don't get it, you don't go through, or you got a barricade there that keeps you out. The churchianity, your own ideas, your own mind. But then he says here, he said, bypass your own ideas. Bypass the things of the world. Let's be resurrected again this great Easter time. The great celebration meets us. So no matter how you look at this, you come to the conclusion there's only one way that you're going to get in, and that's the way that the prophet indicated, which God Almighty vindicated, which is his word. And that's based upon that vindication we mentioned. Now he said, can you celebrate in your heart this week? Well, of course, that means joy and jubilee, all those things. If you can't, just raise your hand to God and say, God, I'm not sure of it. I don't know whether I could or so on. Then that person wants help. Now he said, I can't make a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake. It's going to be too late. Now is the day. Now is the day, so don't wait. Then he gives a couple illustrations down here. And then he said, now here. He said, look, have you got your visa? If you haven't got your visa, you may have your passport, but if you haven't got your visa, you can't enter the land. You know that. Is everything ready? If it isn't, right now is the time to do it. Now, what is he talking about here? Actually, your passport is what you get from your own government, which means that the government allows you to go abroad, taking that passport, saying that you are a citizen of that country. But many countries require visas, and the visa means your passport is stamped that you are allowed to enter in and to travel. Now, the point Brother Branham is bringing out, you are a human being. You call yourself a Christian. That is very good. But have you actually had the seal of God in your life, which is a baptism with the Holy Ghost, which you know to be the true baptism because it reveals God? That's right. Nothing else can do it. And when you see the vindication of God in the midst of the people, which we see, we know that he is here, and we know that we believe that. We know that we are part of the resurrection, and we keep on moving. Now, I know we had different ways, Brother Branham said. Some say, let me shake hands and come to the altar. He said, I don't disagree with any of that. He said, that's all very, very well. But if you're called of God and you're an eagle to begin with, just a scream will tell you. Brother Branham was a lot like a friend of mine that I knew, and he said, I will never invite you to an altar or do anything or to take one step lest you put your faith in the one single step you took toward God. He said, salvation is of God. Brother Branham said, I do not believe in altar calls. I believe in water calls. And he hit it exactly on the head. Can you imagine that little eagle in the barnyard staying there any longer? No, no, no. Don't stay any longer, friend. Let's rapture now. Let's rapture now. In other words, getting out of organization, coming to the Word, is one part of your rapture. That's the shout. That is your repentance. Then he says, Heavenly Father, realize we're coming to the closing hour. We haven't got too long to be here. It may happen any time when you see all these things take place. What things is he talking about? Vindication. The Word of God being manifested. We know we're way over our time according to scientists. Yeah, way over. Midnight hour is rapidly going by. Now, God, let my brethren see this morning. Let my brethren see that spirit comes in and quickens to the Word. That quickens to the Word. The heart punctuates every promise with amen. Let my sisters see the same thing. And then if they see something that won't let them quicken the Word, oh God, may they get rid of it right quick. And of course, you know, the big one was short hair and stuff like that. I know I failed in many things and continue to fail, but Lord, I've done all I know how to do. Now they're in your hands. Now he says he's going to pray for the sick. I know I'm late, but what could happen right now? Just think what could take place. The potentials are lying right in you. Now Brother Branham said, all right, he said there's healing in you, there's healing within you, but don't take it too far. Now that's true because life is a healing process. It utilizes materials, and without life, you know, like Brother Branham said, you give a guy penicillin, it's just like giving rats poison. He said that as penicillin kills the germs, so the rat poison poisons the rats, but how do you mend the holes? Well, the rat hole is there. Now you got to do something about it. Well, so is your body. There's a life in there, but don't take it too far. Now he's talking about that life in you, combined with the life of God, gives you tremendous ability to pray for the sick. And remember that, he says, he brings up the fact of that, of using that very authority that you have by the Holy Ghost to bring this to pass in people's lives. Now, Brother Branham talks about his experience when his wife and baby died. He said, I saw my wife die, not calling, and me calling for light. What have I done but stand in the street corner, preach and pray for the sick? And Satan said, well, he won't answer your prayer. I saw her die. But I know that in her was resurrection power. Those bones shall rise again. Saw my little baby lying there. I laid my hand and said, God, don't take it. Looked down like he pulled the curtain down and said, I won't ever hear you anymore. Satan said, there it is, just one word. He knew better than tell me there was no God because I knew that. But he said, he doesn't love me. He didn't care for me. Every reason, he said. Why, you're a young man, 20 years old, your wife lying there in the morgue, and here's your baby going also, and you say he's a great healer, and all of that. Look, what does he do for you? One word he wouldn't even have to speak. It just looked down, just nod his head, just, you know, wiggle his finger, that your baby died. He even refused to hear your prayer in that dark hour. So what are you doing with God, Satan told him. Everything he said is absolutely truth. He said, what have you done? Worked all day, could hardly stand up, then be up till midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, preaching on street corners, making hospital calls, come sit down in the chair, sleep 2 hours, go back to work, next day, same thing over and over again, and you're only 21, 22. Every friend, every young lady, every young man, every associate you calls you a crazy crank. What have you done? Made a fool out of yourself, don't you see it? And I was about ready to agree with him. Something down inside me, that quickening power said, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With all my hopes given away, there's only one hope and stay, and Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then be him and found, wrapped in the robes of his righteousness, not my own. I don't have any. Mine are filthy rags. Now, he's talking just exactly according to third chapter Revelations, and then going over to chapter 24, the robes will be made right and go into the millennium. I would hate to try to go to heaven on my preaching. I would hate to try to go to heaven on my visions. I'm going to heaven because I hold his grace in my heart, his grace to me. That's why I'm going. That's how we go. In other words, Brother Branham did not put even the vindication of the Word of God in any special place other than it was a sign pointing to what was to be. That's right. Why then do people want to do that? When Miriam came against Moses, God said, listen, I'll tell you something. When I speak to a prophet, I can speak in dreams and visions, and it holds. But with my servant Moses, it is not so. I speak face to face, even apparently. He sees me as I see him. Now, you know something? Brother Branham placed himself with Moses and Paul, and rightly so, if that is correct. We are standing with one of the three great prophets and great men of all ages. And there's nothing you can do about it except believe it. See? So this is Numbers 12 and Deuteronomy 18. Now, old friend, you're a part of this body. You're God's little children. Now, I'm saying this to build your hope. If I found favor you and told you the truth, what I've told you, as a prophet said of years gone by, not making myself a prophet, no sir, but telling you the truth, has he ever said anything but what was right? I have known some of you folk here in Phoenix for 20 years. Since, like that song, I'd like to talk it over with him at Brother Outlaw's church, I believe it's Brother or Brother Garcia's. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what happened? Remember, there's only one hope. Get this quickening power. It will hold you when everything else is given away. It will hold you. Some of them said, did you keep your religion, Brother Branham? No, it kept me. It keeps me. I don't keep it. It isn't whether I hold on or not. It's whether he has held on or not. He is what held on to me. He didn't have to. In other words, he's telling you the Apostle Paul said, what he's committed to God, he's absolutely confident it's going to come to pass. Angels were sitting in every tree. Just pull your finger loose. Just point. You don't have to take it from the cross. Just point your finger and watch. See that mocking bunch. But if he did that, I couldn't have this testimony today. You couldn't have it because he stayed on the cross. He held there. That's why I hold with him. Now, if you're sick, would you lay your hands upon one another? Now, here's what he says. Remember, in paragraph 247, remember that quickening power. He's telling each person, remember that quickening power. That same power that raised Jesus up from the grave. You have faith, what you've got in your body. In other words, you believe the Holy Ghost is there. It's going to help that person that you've got your hands on. If it dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. In other words, he's saying here, listen, I have not failed to preach the truth. You know it is vindicated. You know it is the truth. And if it is the truth, then it contains the Holy Ghost. And so therefore, positively, you are being consciously filled with the Holy Ghost. From your rebirth, step by step, you are coming higher and higher, quickened more and more. Now that spirit is in your body. Now you have the intelligence to lay hands upon the person. And when you do not think of yourself, you think of the power that lies within you. The same as when Brother Branham talked about his hands. Well, he said, I would go and pray for that man upon whom the church wall fell, and he would be delivered. The guy would die. He said, he's all crushed inside. But he said, of course, he said, these hands are unclean hands, are not like yours. And then he began thinking. He said, but you know, it's funny. He said, when I have these visions, he said, I lay hands on to get healed. And the voice said to him, well, it's the same hands, aren't they? It woke him up. He went down and prayed for the man. Man gets out of bed perfectly whole. No problem. So he's pointing us to the fact that when he has the people lay hands on each other, which they most certainly can do, and they have done it in his meetings, they must realize it. The laying on of hands is a gesture. That's all. It's a gesture. It's not, hey, me lay on hands, somebody going to get healed. It's a gesture. And what is the gesture? The gesture is, I am standing here and praying as a legate, a minister of God. And I am doing this, if you want to put it, as his vicar, as his servant. So, Lord, it is not my hands, not mine anymore, not my life. It is your body that you're using, I hope, I trust. And I'm praying for this person. And in humility, those people get healed. You'd be surprised what happens from the presence and power of God. Now he said here, in the morning of this resurrection, notice this vindicated truth that I've told. Lord, from your word, in the presence of God. Now, Brother Branham is actually telling the people, and I know that most do not believe it, that God himself is uniquely here, but they believe that God is there, as the brother tried to tell Brother Vernon. Well, we've been here since Pentecost, and Vernon said, sure, that was anointing on the flesh, but this is personal presence. They don't take it, do they, Vernon? Can't take it. They cannot believe. But if you honored them by saying, sir, I am sure you are full of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Many times full. Yes, many times full. Now, I do this on purpose because I rage within with anger. I was born angry. I'm an angry preacher. I'm an angry person. You know it. I rage within. When I see some little insane pussycat, think he's a tiger. When I see the butterflies pretend they're Sherman tanks, and I see the Sherman tank William Branham, as humble as a butterfly. You wonder why I'm angry? I've told you. I shouldn't be angry. God can take care of his business beautifully. I like to butt my nose in. A little. And be envious for the prophet. I knew him. Lived around him. I saw what many men saw, what many men didn't see. And I can tell you one thing. You can have all the others. I don't care who they are. Take them all. Take any word you want. God, give me what I need if I don't have it now. Well, I believe I do, though. You have it, too. To get us out of here. That's part of the last victorious bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Easter seal. Part of the resurrection going on now. Say, how long can it go on? I don't know. That's up to God. I know at the end time, He's lenient. He holds back. But just as sure as we are here this morning, something happened. And whatever happened there, I believe is happening now. And it's going to happen. And I don't believe there's anything else that you need to turn to, or should turn to, or want to turn to, other than what has been vindicated before it was spoken. That is the secret and the clue. And if all that happened, then this will happen also. We're going to get changed and be taken out of here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You give us a little breathing space here to quickly finish off this last message on Easter Seal and try to see what the prophet taught us. And Lord, we do see it. Maybe we're a little bit like those people that You touched the first time, and You said, how did You see? And they said, we see men as trees walking, but we're sure happy we see that much. And You touched them again, and there they were with perfect sight. Lord, I believe the first touch we got was the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And now I believe this second touch, Lord, that You put upon us, which is the engrafted living Word, which is the measure of the Holy Spirit. As the life comes more and more, we will see living trees, living men walking. As Brother Branham said, living epistles. You are made manifest right in this hour to be the Word of this period. And the Word, Lord, of this period is we're going to see the righteous come out of the graves, Lord, even as we've seen You manifested by Your photo here and the things that were done. And there'll be people, Lord, and we trust we are a part of those same people. Every one of us, not one missing from this church. Believing solidly, soundly to be a part of that immortality. And why not? With the earth renewed with no water. Now it's only 1/6 land. 1,500 miles, pyramidal city. There's room for... That's coming in the future, but even the millennium, there's room for just, well, literally billions. If we can take 5-7 billion people on earth now, with 1/6, we could take 42 billion over there. No need for anyone to wonder about space and time and think maybe there's some little evidence that that would have any bearing upon the Word of God. Nothing has any bearing upon the Word of God but God Himself. Lord, help us to realize that, and You vindicated it. And that ought to put us, Lord, I believe, more of a oneness with You and with each other. May the glorious, wonderful enjoyment of this resurrection the prophet told us of even so many years ago, about 26 years ago, all this time, way back yonder. Yet we're going on, and it's becoming more and more manifest, the light and understanding of truth, which is what we're looking at. So bless Your people this morning, Lord. We pray that You'll heal the sick amongst us. And we believe You're doing it by Your sweet presence anyway. We've seen evidence, and we thank You for it. And where there's a lack, Lord, of understanding, may the lack be made up. And where there, Lord, there's the missing of the of those particular fruits of the Spirit, may we begin not to regard them as though they were not necessary, but may we regard them all the more as part of the life, which is a manifested life, which we know is proper and right as citizens of the kingdom. And even gifts, Lord, we know that that wrong usage will bring condemnation. But right usage, Lord, absolutely was commended of You. The prophet gave us a church order. So these things, Father, we look to You for. And we know that we're amiss in so much of it. And yet we believe, Lord, that the key lies in this Word intrinsically itself, not looking anymore at manifestations, knowing that Your vindicated manifestation prove that what is now before us must be manifested in human flesh. We identify with Christ on it. Identify ourselves in this manner as the prophet taught us. Now we're saying it with our lips, Lord. Now anoint our minds. Please, in Jesus Christ's holy name, anoint our minds to the truth. And get right down, past our eyeballs, where that tension is. The eardrum's getting hard. Loosen them, Lord, with the oil of grace until the word flows down into our souls. Amen, Lord, and begins to come back with the reality of a testimony and a life. Living epistles manifested to be that word. We don't put any big stock upon that, Lord, in the sense we're trying to do wonders and signs. No, we're not. We just, what the prophet said. Whatever he meant, Lord, we're open to. And you can show us exactly what he means in every area there. What it means to us. And how we go on in all these ways. We give thee glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.